Chapter 11. Satwant Kaur signaled to Fatima to come into the armory. Together they put away everything. Then Satwant Kaur went back to the secret room without anyone seeing her. The corrupt police inspector, who had been in league with the robbers, had taken no action at night. Now he appeared with two constables and busily began to question the people of the household. Then he ordered his assistants to look around for any clues about the robbers. In the afternoon, Khan Sahib returned. He had been extremely perturbed when the messenger reached him and related the night's events. He was relieved to see that the only damage was to the huge wooden gates, which could be easily repaired by an expert carpenter. Seeing the policemen, he gave them stern orders to find the robbers at the earliest. Then he went inside and spoke to his servants, praising them for being so loyal and protecting his household. Khan Sahib was glad to see that Fatima appeared normal and seemed to have withstood the shock of the frightening experience as well. But when he asked her for details, she spoke incoherently, stopping mid-sentence again and again. She did not want to make any reference to Satwant Kaur's name, but Khan Sahib thought that she did this because she was mentally disturbed. In her room, Satwant Kaur sat in deep thought. She was anxious and determined to reach her home with her faith intact. Unlike other girls who had been kidnapped, she refused to accept the changed circumstances as her fate. She had fought her way through dangers and difficulties. She had also been able to resist the temptation of the comforts and luxuries she would have as the begum of the Amir of Kabul. But now she was finding it very difficult to break the bonds of friendship and affection that had grown between her and Fatima. These bonds had been further strengthened and enriched by their mutual interest in religion. Fatima came into the secret room later that night to find Satwant Kaur ready to leave. She had only waited to say goodbye to Fatima, who now burst into tears. She clutched Satwant Kaur, begging and pleading with her to stay. It was a heartbreaking scene, shaking Satwant Kaur's resolve. She tried her best to cheer Fatima up, but when all efforts failed, she promised to stay for another 8 days. "But then I must leave," she said gently. "I must reach home where my parents are suffering the daily torture of not knowing where I am and in what condition. Had they seen me die or received news of my death, they would have accepted the grief stoically. It is not knowing whether I am alive with my innocence and faith untouched which must be causing them untold suffering. I must see them and reassure them." Fatima says, "I know and I do understand, but I feel so helpless. The moment I think of you leaving, my heart sinks. I can't bear the thought of never seeing you again." Satwant Kaur says, "Bibi, you are getting so much strength from the Gurbani you have memorized and are now beginning to understand. It has made you more aware of the pain of others. You must believe in its goodness and feel the peace of it fill your heart. You will see that it will be your support in the days ahead. It is important to remember that at the end, each and every one of us will be alone. At that time, no friends or relatives will be able to help. Why not start now to teach yourself to face that final moment? Make only yourself the source of your hopes and expectations and no one else. Let me tell you a story. It's based on a real-life incident. Once, a Singh lived in the middle of a forest with his wife and young son. He had cleared a large area and made a couple of huts. He and his family lived in one hut, and the other was kept for people needing rest or refuge. The rest of the place had been cultivated and grains and vegetables grown to feed them. One day, Singh Sahib noticed smoke billowing at some distance. He realized that a forest fire had broken out. He knew that soon the blaze would reach them. But before that, the thick smoke would choke them to death. He thought for a while and, by God's grace, hit upon a plan. Going beyond the vegetable plots, he set fire to the surrounding bushes, which were absolutely dry. They caught fire quickly and began to burn fiercely. This small fire moved away towards the jungle, leaving a large tract of charred ground all around the huts. Since there was nothing left to burn, the forest fire took a path well away from them. Once we realize that the day of ultimate loneliness is coming nearer, and it can devastate us with such pain as to make it a living hell, we must act to face it with courage. Being alone with faith only in one God will make this same solitude enjoyable. For the Lord himself will be with us, fulfilling all our needs with his presence. Chapter 12. Fatima. What you say is true, I understand it and believe it, but can't I do something more so that it becomes my very nature? Satwant Kaur. Yes, this is possible. A person who learns to be detached from earthly pleasures and relationships can truly experience the joys of being alive. But detachment must be learned, and the way has been shown to us. As we continue to recite Gurbani, our minds become purer. All desires and wishes lose their keen edge. Slowly we begin to accept that the world around us is like a sandcastle. It can be swept away by the next wave. This, however, does not mean that we should withdraw from the world. We live in it, so we must enjoy all that it offers. We must be like a bee, which sips the nectar of a flower and flies off, and not be like the common housefly, which gets stuck inside the jar of honey. Another thing we must do is to search for that true happiness which is eternal, which when experienced radiates the soul and removes all fears and doubts. For this, we do not have to go out, for it is right here in our hearts. You must have heard of the musk deer. It carries the source of its rare fragrance inside it. And yet, not being aware of this, wanders from place to place in search of it. Gurbani says, Bahar dhunda te chut parai, ghur ghar hi mahe dikhya tha. Means, the Guru has saved us from needless wandering by revealing the source of eternal bliss inside us. Fatima. Having listened with rapt attention and heaving a deep sigh, says, Dear sister, I love listening to you. I can feel my runaway mind slowing down and my thoughts becoming centered on what you say. I know that if I can only break the bonds of the outer world, which are constantly pulling me away from myself, I can achieve immense happiness and peace. But all this is too new, and my mind is still untrained. So help me, as you have done up to now. You have been extremely generous in giving me so much time to set me on the right path. I can never repay you, neither in this life nor in the next. Stay a little longer with me and help me to clear the doubts which continue to cloud my mind. Satwant Kaur, I have not done you favor at all. The Guru is the inspiration, and he tells us that while traveling on the road of life, we must do whatever good we can. The Guru has also instructed us that we must first prepare the person if he wants to move on a spiritual path. Otherwise, it's like asking a blind person to evaluate the price of pearls. To illustrate this point, I'll tell you a story. Once there was a king who was a good man, but completely illiterate. A learned pandit was his chief advisor. He wielded a great deal of power in the court. There came a time when he had to go away. He wanted to keep his position secure at the court. So he told the king, While I am away, you must be careful that no one tries to make a fool of you. I'll teach you a Sanskrit slok, which means, The goodness sits on a stool eating corn. Whenever a man comes posing as a learned man, you can test him by asking him the meaning. If he tells this correctly, you can trust him. But if he doesn't, you will know he is a fraud. Thus it happened that many wise men came to meet the king, but went away humiliated, because the king had been taught the wrong meaning of the slok. One day, Pandit Kalidas happened to come there. He saw the king was upsetting all the wise people of his kingdom through his ignorance. He decided to enlighten him. When the king asked him the meaning of the slok, Kalidas replied, "To give the exact meaning will take at least 6 months. You must spend a couple of hours with me every day, Your Majesty, otherwise it will not be possible." The king agreed to do this, and in the 6 months, Kalidas managed to teach the king the basics of the Sanskrit language. At the end of this time, he requested the king to work out the meaning of the slok itself. To his consternation, the king found that the meaning was exactly the same as given by the other wise men earlier. In this way, Kalidas trained the king to understand and appreciate the language so that he could interpret the meaning for himself. It is written in the Guru Granth Sahib, "Kabir Ram Ratan Mukh Kotri Parakh Age Khol Koi Aay Milego Gaki Lego Mege Mol." Meaning, Kabir says, when you have received the name of Ram, do not reveal it to one and all, but to the one who knows its worth, for only he will value it. Jis jaan ko prab daras pyasa, Nanak takhe bal bal jasa. Meaning, he who seeks to see the sight of the Lord, Nanak, is a sacrifice unto him. To illustrate what happens when one offers a gift to someone who is not ready for it, it will relate another story. A pair of birds had built their nest on top of a tall tree. When the rains came, they sat snug and safe from the storm. Two fireflies hovered there, casting light all around. Just then a monkey appeared. He was shivering with cold and jumping from branch to branch, trying to find shelter. One bird spoke, "Oh, brother monkey, you resemble a human being and have two hands and feet. You should have built a home for yourself in fair weather, then you would not be suffering now." The monkey was furious at this advice coming from a mere bird and promptly destroyed the nest. So, Bibi, the need is for us to learn to be good, to give up wrongdoing and control evil passions. Reciting Gurbani cleans our minds and hearts and fills them with love. It is of vital importance, and that is why I have helped you first of all to recite and memorize Gurbani. There is one other thing you can do to get spiritual strength, but I must discuss this first with a saintly person who is my guide and mentor. I shall be gone for 1 or 2 days only. Fatima, Bibi ji, my heart is full of fear. What if you don't come back? Satwant Kaur, a Sikh does not tell lies. Whenever I leave for my motherland, I shall tell you before going. So please trust me. The Sant ji I refer to has come from Punjab, and all these days I have been talking and discussing all points with him. The words I have spoken to you are those which he has told me. On this last point, I must clear my doubts before talking to you, so I will leave now. But I shall come back soon. Saying her farewell to Fatima, Satwant Kaur changed back into the men's clothing and slipped out of the tunnel. True to her promise, she returned after 2 days, to a delighted welcome from Fatima. Early next morning, after completing the Gurbani Nitnem, Satwant Kaur spoke to Fatima and said, "Our Guru established a spiritual path, that of satsang, where people meet and interact for their spiritual upliftment. Yours and mine is such a relationship. The Guru has taught the Sikhs how to remember God all the time by repeating his name," meaning Naam Japna. The effect of this is like drinking the cool, sparkling water of a deep well. It refreshes and satisfies all who drink it, and it will never run dry. Kave karache ral mil pai, tot na aave vadd jai. Meaning, expand as much as I may with all my company, but it diminishes not and is ever on the increase. Satwant Kaur then went on to tell Fatima about Amrit and its significance for the Sikhs. This will be difficult for you, I know, so for the present concentrate on Naam Japna. After a pause, she continued, our minds are always teeming with thoughts and ideas. If we think of good things, our minds too become good. So our aim should be to remember the Almighty at all times. For He is the creator and protector of all living creatures. Our Guru has taught us. Gura ik de bujhai, sabna jiyan ka ik data, so mai visar na jai. Meaning, this the Guru, my mentor, taught. There is one protector and provider of all creation. Forget Him not. If we find it difficult to concentrate on the Lord's name in silence, then we can recite it aloud. In this way, Vaheguru Naam slowly seeps into our subconscious and becomes part of our psyche. Remembering becomes an effortless act, and at this stage, the mind becomes restful and focused. It is not pulled in different directions by the temptations and attractions of this world. Slowly, a sense of purity will permeate yourself and you will enjoy a lightness and beauty of spirit. My prayers are with you. May Vaheguru grant you the joy of His presence. I have a strong feeling that in this way, a day will come when you will be ready to take Amrit and become a Singhni. So, my dear Bibi, cherish these words. A seed lying in the dirt is worthless. But when thrown into a fertile field and watered, it grows into a fruit-bearing tree. Similarly, Guru Nanak's gift is rejected by non-believers. But in the hearts of eager devotees, it takes root and grows, bringing fulfillment and joy. Guru Nanak has not concealed anything from his Sikhs. Everything is freely available in his satsang. However, it is human nature to shut one's eye in the face of a strong flash of light. The non-believers use this as an excuse to deny the Almighty's presence and thereby expose their own ignorance. Chapter 13. For some time, all was quiet. Then Satwant Kaur handed a sheet of paper to Fatima and said, read this carefully. It will be your guide and help in the days to come. It was a copy of the Prashnotra of Bhai Nandlal, the Rehatnama in which was listed the daily code of conduct to be followed by the Sikhs. All Sikhs must arise at dawn and recite Vaheguru's Naam with love in their hearts. After a bath, they must recite the Gurbani, Japji and Jap Sahib. In the evening, they must listen to Reh Ras, as well as to Kirtan and Katha, which will bring them nearer to Vaheguru. This routine must be maintained diligently, for in this way they will feel the bliss which only the love of God can provide. The document continued. A Sikh must have complete faith in the Guru's word, the Shabad, must visit the Gurdwara regularly, must serve his Guru with his heart and soul, and work towards a greater closeness with his brethren. Such a Gursikh is welcome in the Lord's presence and achieves eternal bliss. Fatima listened to Satwant Kaur with rapt attention. She had received three invaluable gifts to help and guide her. Recitation of Gurbani and Mool Mantar. Remembering the name of the Lord, Vaheguru Naam Simran. Rehat or basics of Sikh's way of life. Armed with these, she set out on the straight path of Sikhism. Gurmukh Gaddi Gurmukh Gaddi Raho Chaland means the devotee sets out on the straight path. Beloved Khalsas, treat each other with love and sympathy. Do not harbor doubts and suspicions about your Sikh brothers. Senapati Guru Gobind Singh's poets has written. Khalsa khas kahave soi, jinke hirde param na hoi. Param pek te rahe nyara, so khalsa satguru hamara. Means, he is called the Khalsa, whose mind is free from illusion. He who is above illusion, rituals, and formalism, such a Khalsa is the true one. Another ill which has become prevalent these days is indifference towards satsang, which leads to arrogance. There is no respect for the truly religious person, and true devotees are often equated with frauds. These grave errors are eroding the spirituality of the Sikh Panth. People of little learning project themselves on par with the 10 Guru Sahibs and manage to drive away the true believers. It is imperative to shun such hypocrites and pretenders. We must always wish and pray for the company of Gurmukh and Sadh, people who tread the Sikh path with sincerity and devotion. Gurmukh da mel, Sadh da sang, meaning, O Lord, grant us the company of the devotees and the society of the elevated ones. Fatima now got up. She had to be in her room before everyone awoke. She felt radiant with joy and thankfulness. Her eyes filled with tears, and in a rush of emotion, she fell at Satwant Kaur's feet, who quickly held her in her arms in a warm embrace. Bibi, you are my friend and must behave like one. I want you to be strong and firm in your faith and bow only to the one Lord, Satwant Kaur said gently. Fatima apologized for her impetuosity, and after a few more words, she left. Satwant Kaur now sat thinking. She too had become very fond of Fatima and was feeling the pang of parting with her. But she soon rallied and reminded herself of Kabir's words. Kabir Sikh Sakha Bahute Kie Keso Kyo Na Meet Chale The Har Milan Ko Biche Atkyo Cheet. Meaning, Kabir says, I have gathered a large following, but befriended not God. I want to meet my God, but the way was barred by my mind. This attachment with Fatima must not become a liability for me, Satwant Kaur told herself. It is all right to feel love for another, because without mutual affection, trust and friendship cannot develop. Whatever has happened is God's will and the grace of Guru Nanak Dev. I have acted according to his wishes. Satwant Kaur became immersed in the loving recitation of Tan Guru Nanak, Tan Guru Nanak. Chapter 14. Satwant Kaur stayed on for some time to watch Fatima's progress. She was glad to note that Fatima looked happier day by day. Her speech lost its harshness, and her manner towards her household changed dramatically. She was no longer arrogant and demanding in her orders to her servants. She also began to involve her young son by waking him early and teaching him simple prayers. During her conversations with her husband, Fatima would gently point out how unjust were the raids made by him and his soldiers on Punjab, and being so harsh and cruel to innocent people. Kings should be like fathers who protect their people, Wars should take place only when one nation is attacked by another, she said to him. On another occasion, Fatima suggested to her husband not to cut their son's hair, as it was so soft and beautiful. In Uthi's way, 2 months passed. Satwant Kaur was now convinced that Fatima was firm in her faith and would continue on the path confidently. One day she told Fatima about her plan to leave. When Fatima resisted, Satwant Kaur said, I will have to sneak away then, since you won't let me go happily. The next day, Satwant Kaur awoke at 2 a.m. and got dressed. She had come to this house as a slave, but was now ready to leave after showing her mistress the right path to spiritual freedom. Fatima had instead insisted on giving her 200 gold coins to help her on the journey. But Satwant Kaur left the bundle where it lay. Eating a handful of grapes, she made her way through the tunnel into wilderness beyond. Satwant Kaur soon reached the clearing where the holy person was staying. In the dim light of an earthen lamp, Santiji was sitting in meditation. Bowing to him, Satwant Kaur sat down quietly. Towards dawn, he opened his eyes. Seeing Satwant, he smiled and said, Tell me, child, have you completed Guru's task? Satwant Kaur's eyes filled with tears. Maharaj, I have tried to do as you advised me. On my own, I would have made many mistakes. By Vaheguru's grace and your guidance, Fatima has started on the spiritual path with a heart full of sincerity and devotion. Santiji was very pleased at these words and blessed Satwant Kaur. You are a good soul. May Vaheguru grant you greater nearness to him. But remember, always that pure love for the Almighty must ever be tinged with awe. This keeps a check on one's ego. The Guru has said, Nanak pae vin je mare, muh kale uthe jaye. Meaning, says Nanak, the person who dies without the loving fear of the Lord dies in disgrace. Satwant Kaur thanked Santji for all his kindness and advice. Then said, Maharaji, I wish to return to my motherland and want your permission. Santji, your plan to accompany the old gentleman, Baba Ladda Singh, has got slightly delayed, but don't worry. The next caravan will be leaving in 15 days' time. Soon Baba Ladda Singh arrived and was pleased to see Satwant Kaur, who was now in the disguise of Jaswant Singh. Santiji told Baba Ladda Singh to take good care of the young lad. He also told him that he would reach Amritsar by Diwali and asked the Baba to wait there for him. Satwant Kaur was not happy to mislead her companions by this pretense and felt that she did not deserve their kindness and respect. Silently she thanked them and the God for those blessings. Dear friends, in the olden days, when a Sikh received praise, it did not make him feel that he was superior to his brothers and sisters. Due to this warm camaraderie and mutual love for Sri Vaheguru united the Panth. Today the scene is very different. The moment praise is lavished on a person, he accepts it as is due, and his behavior towards others changes. He forgets that the foremost quality of a wise man is humility. So Khalsa ji, feel that you belong to the Guru and be a friend to all. Let your soul be in the care of Vaheguru, but let your heart believe in Sagal Charan Ki Eh Maan Raal, means I am the dust under the feet of others. The Guru has clearly stated that he respects the Sikh who remembers the Lord and teaches others to do the same. Jan Nanak Thud Mangai Tis Gur Sikh Ki Jo Aap Japai Avare Naam Japave. Means, Nanak craves for the dust of the devotee's feet who contemplates himself and makes others contemplate the name of the Lord. The caravan with which Satwant Kaur was hoping to reach her country finally took to the road. She and the old Baba, along with the young servant, were the only ones going to Punjab. However, they had gone barely a few miles when the Amir's soldiers came thundering up and called a halt. They began to make a thorough search. Each and every box, bundle, and bedroll was opened and gone thoroughly through carefully. The bewildered travelers were told that the Amir had lost a valuable diamond. In fact, the thief was one of the courtiers, and to direct suspicion away from himself, he had advised the Amir to stop the caravan, in case the thief was escaping with it to Hindustan. The soldiers took advantage of the situation to purloin valuables for themselves. They also began a personal search of the people, though this was not ordered by the Amir. The women were separated from the men and searched by women guards. Satwant Kaur was in a dilemma. She had been dressed as a woman. All would have been well. Had she been dressed as a woman, all would have been well. But she was dressed as a young man and was now herded along with the other men. As the search continued, Satwant Kaur's mind worked frantically to find a solution, all the time praying for divine help. Night fell, and only half the job was done. So a camp was made and the caravan was surrounded by soldiers on all sides so that the search could be resumed the next morning. In a village in a far-off Punjab, daylight was fading and the darkness began to spread. The birds retreated into their nests, and the people of their homes, where earthen lamps brightened the interiors. Stars began to twinkle in the dark sky. Slowly the moon arose, casting a cool silvery light all around. It was a scene to soothe the eyes and bring peace to the soul. But for one person, it was a time of stark suffering. A woman sat lost in her thoughts, tears flowing from her closed eyes. She wiped these occasionally as she desperately prayed for some semblance of peace and restoration of faith in God's will. But the love and longing for her daughter brought a fresh wave of emotion, and she began to sob uncontrollably. After a while, she wiped her eyes, looked up at the sky, and began to talk to her missing daughter. "My darling daughter, sitting in some strange land, may you too be looking at the moon. This is the only contact I have with you. Alas, this separation is breaking my heart. When will it be over? Oh my Lord, how my faith wavers. I am not able to accept your will, nor have I been able to cut my emotional ties. Maybe if my child had died, I would have been able to swallow this bitter pill and learnt acceptance with your grace. Oh God, why have I not received any news of my daughter? Child, you have left me so bereft, captured and taken to a land from which no one returns. Please, someone bring me news that my daughter died, pure and innocent, as the day was born. I would rejoice and compare the event to doing Ishnan, taking a holy dip at Sri Amritsar, or going to Hazur Sahib for darshan. But who is to tell me whether my daughter is suffering untold miseries on this earth or is in the high heavens? Blood of my blood, heart of my heart, how she was torn away from me, what untold pain. And she began to chant a lament of her unbearable sorrow and need to see her lost daughter's face just once to get some solace. At the end, she again burst out crying, and finally closed her eyes from sheer exhaustion. In the next instant, she saw a hillside and a stream flowing nearby, the water making soft rippling sounds as it ran over the pebbles. On one side of the stream, there were a number of trees covered with vines. Through the thick green leaves, bunches upon bunches of black grapes were visible. Under one of the trees, she saw Satwant Kaur sitting with a bowed head. At times, she sighed deeply. Then tears rolled down her cheeks. She began humming to herself, and her mother heard the heartbreaking words of a song about a girl separated from her parents, brothers, and sisters, who remembers the small daily incidents shared with them and conveys her loneliness and deep longing to be back with them. The mother moved forward and eagerly tried to take her daughter in a tight embrace, but there was nothing, no warm and loving daughter, only the empty courtyard, the same courtyard where her child grew up, running around and playing games. The scene vanished, and with it, the beloved face. The mother heaved a sigh and said, "Ah, it was only a dream. But child, are you alive? Oh God, what am I to do? So many days have I waited without news. Even Santji has sent no message. Guruji, please guide me. Should I go to Kabul? Can I find her there? My instincts will surely lead me to her. And if I am unsuccessful, I shall die in the attempt. O Lord, either send back my child or send me death." "What? Asking for death? What kind of thankless words are these?" A deep, serious voice spoke from the doorway. Startled, Basant Kaur stood up and quickly moved forward to greet her husband. He came up to her and placed his hand on her shoulder, saying, "My dear, why this loss of faith? The Almighty creates and destroys. It is as He wills. Who are we to dictate Him? Is our thinking wiser than His? You have always been very patient and strong, and were accepting this loss with full faith. What happened to make you lose control like this?" Basant Kaur: "Forgive me, Sardarji. A woman is emotional, and that makes her weak. We are like animals, and as Guruji has said, Chuniye siyana, paye chun chun, paave kaas. Even if gold is offered to animals, they will eat only grass. Even if we are educated, our basic self remains the same. With our company, with your company, I have learnt a great deal. But since you were away, my patience and tolerance deserted me. My faith wavered and left me feeling weak and helpless. Like ordinary women, I have cried and lamented for my daughter today. I have seen her crying, I have cursed my fate and myself, and felt life to be too bitter and have wanted to die. I realize that in all this, I have shown the gravest disrespect for our ever-loving Lord. I am not fit to be the wife of a true Sikh. Send me to Kabul, please. Let me try and find my daughter. And if this does not happen, I'll break my head on the rocks and kill myself." And she began to cry bitterly. He continued in a gentle voice, "Just think, dear, we have already lost our daughter. Now we are turning our back on our faith as well. You know that she was a gift from the Vaheguru, and now he has taken this gift back. The pain we are feeling is for the suffering she must be undergoing. But if we think for a moment, we don't know what condition she was in before she came into this family. If we could not know, nor do anything about it, then the same situation exists now. We have tried everything possible to trace her and have failed. The constant worry is only for her physical and moral purity. If she is alive with her faith intact, then it is a matter of joy. And if she has died with her faith and purity intact, then that too is a matter of joy. I have full confidence that she will never show any weakness. She cherishes the pride of being a Sikh. You too must have this faith. You must keep your thoughts positive and remain in Chardi Kala. If you begin to think that your daughter has lost her purity, these negative thoughts will surely reach her and create negativity in her thinking. Trust in the fact that your child is strong and facing the challenges staunchly. Then pray with complete faith to the Guru to come to her aid. Jahan jahan Khalsa ji sahib, tahan tahan Rachia, Riyat, means your protection reaches all places wherever the Khalsa resides. With these actions, you will help your daughter's spirit to remain hopeful and positive. Don't limit your perceptions to the visible world only, because what we cannot see is much larger than what we can. The principles of the unseen world are more subtle, but extremely strong. Your wishes and thoughts have a definite identity in the visible world. Like arrows, they fly in the space, find their mark and make an impact to uplift or bring about a downfall, to create or to destroy, depending on our state of mind. Because of your unhappiness today, you saw your daughter weeping in distress. Now when you think about her, picture her as being in Chardikala. Send her the blessing. Child, may you never lose your optimistic spirit. Every day we perform the ardas for those women and children who are lying in captivity in far-off lands, that they may hold on to their faith. And we firmly believe that not even one of our children will fall from grace. Why do you let your spirit slide into disbelief? Remind yourself of the numerous Sikhs who were captured along with Baba Banda Singh. Some were parts of his troops, but quite a few were mere passengers. Yet not one of them compromised in the matter of his religion. We reminded ourselves of such incidents, not to become arrogant, but to keep doubt, fear and disbelief away from us and strengthen our faith that if it is Guru's will, then our wishes shall be fulfilled. Basant Kaur says, what you say is so true, but at moments I feel overwhelmed by a sudden wave of emotion. When I sit down to eat, the thought comes unbidden. Has my daughter eaten or is she sitting hungry? Before I sleep, I wonder if she is lying on the cold ground in some lonely place. And while churning butter, I remember how she used to sing, asking for Missi Roti and fresh butter. My dear husband, I get a lot of strength and comfort from your wise words. It makes me contemplate how the Lord makes provision, even for the newborn child. In the same way, he must have planned for my daughter too. I know she is brave like a lioness and will face all troubles courageously. I also tell myself that some good will come out of this because we believe that whatever Waheguru does is for our good. Maybe something needed to be done in Kabul, which only Satwant could do, and that is why she has been sent there. How can we know why things happen? For us, it is enough that we keep faith. With these thoughts, I feel strong. This morning, I began to realize that I was so unhappy because it was my daughter who was missing. So many raids have occurred and so many young girls carried away. I have felt a pang, but never this heartbreak and misery. I remembered these lines from Sri Guru Granth Sahib. Jab lag meri meri karai, tab lag Kaj ek nahi sarai. Means, as long as one is caught in the web of me and mine, nothing worthwhile can be achieved. Himmat Singh nodded and said, it is true that pain is caused by our ego and possessiveness, but it is not easy to control these. Also, there is another aspect to remember. There is a very fine distinction between ego, which causes suffering, and pride, which is the core of basis of a human being. If this is given up, then there can be no happiness. Some people take their weakness to mean that they have conquered their ego. In fact, what they have done is to give up their right to make decisions and to take action accordingly. The cause of your pain is self-respect or self-worth, which refuses to accept and give in to the evil actions of another. We Indians had lost this spirit, and Sri Guru Gobind Singh revived it. You wish your daughter to die with her self-respect intact? This arises from a higher love, which is supported by strength of character and true religious fervor. This is something to be proud of. As to the conquering of the sense of me and mine, one cannot get rid of it merely by talking. In spite of great efforts, it raises its head again and again. The Guru has therefore shown us that the cure for it is through a deep and abiding love for Vaheguru. As our love for him increases, we shall feel closer to him. A sense of belonging will fill our souls. I am his, and he is mine. This relationship will become all-encompassing, drawing us away from the ephemeral attractions of this world. And as we continue to remember Vaheguru, a day will come when we shall feel his love being showered on us. This will wash away the fine veil of our ego and enable our purified soul to become one with the all-loving Father. Strengthened by his touch, it will form an internal bond with him which can never break. We are at the stage of effort, of trying to uplift ourselves to reach for oneness with the Lord. The way of the Lord is to believe. Everything is mine, only the Lord is not. But the Guru's path is of loving devotion, which forges close bonds with Vaheguru. When these bonds are weak, the love of others pulls us away to non-belief. You must fight this. Don't listen to the complaints of worldly people. Also be careful not to be influenced by words of hollow wisdom. The effort should be to start at the bottom rung and gradually move upwards. Begin by reminding yourself daily, as many times as possible, Vaheguru is ever present. Even though I can't see him, so that slowly the awareness of his presence remains with you at all times. Next, ask yourself, where is he? And tell yourself, he is with me and all around me. Then think, what is his relationship to us? To this you reply, he is our Father and he loves us. Once you are convinced of his love, then your devotion and love for him will become absolutely firm. You will feel that you are constantly surrounded by the radiance and joy of his presence. Your spirits will always be uplifted. In this way, a person who has conquered his ego creates an aura of goodness. Whatever he does benefits others. His mind stays at a higher level. He respects and relies on himself and becomes alive in the true sense of the word. But this happens only after the mind has been cleansed by reciting Gurbani and by the love of Naam Simran. Basant Kaur says, it is so true that when a vine clings to a strong tree, it can rise to the same height as the tree. In the same way, a person of weak faith can rise to great spiritual heights by the satsang of his companion. You have done so much to help me shed my weakness, but I still need your help. I am extremely foolish. I have not been able to achieve the state of mind where I can feel the presence of Vaheguru all the time. But I know that your kindness and optimism will make me strong. Himmat Singh says, I myself have not achieved that state of complete faith, but we are blessed with the gift of satsang, so we must not worry. Guruji will himself lead us to the goal. Chapter 15. To achieve a state of mind where we remember Vaheguru all the time, we have been given the gift of Naam Japna. In this way, we are able to be in touch with him, feel his presence in our hearts, and then there is no feeling of separation. Basant Kaur. But what if someone keeps repeating his name like a parrot? Himmat Singh. Smiling. My dear, it's a living, breathing person who is doing Naam Japna, not a lifeless machine. When a person does something sincerely, it has a definite effect on his or her thinking. When we do Naam Japna with a clear aim that it should become Simran, which in turn should become love for Vaheguru, our intentions will bear fruit. However, if someone recites Naam for a show, then that is another matter. Basant Kaur. Oh, why do I get so confused? Why doesn't love for Vaheguru fill my heart? Himmat Singh. There could be a good reason for this. There is a strong belief among people that Vaheguru is an autocratic and strict judge who must be feared. How can then one have a loving relationship with him? But the Guru has given us an entirely different picture of Vaheguru as Nirbhau, meaning without fear, Nirvair, without enmity, Bakshind, forgiving, Pita, father, Brata, brother, Sakha, companion, Mitra, friend. All these donate loving and caring qualities. Thus, when we see him as Ape Preet Prem Parmesar, God puts his love in man and blesses him with his grace. It becomes easy to love him. We lose our defiance, our sense of awkwardness when approaching him, and begin to feel the closeness which was being denied to us by our own fear and doubts. Basant Kaur. Why do we feel shy or awkward with Vaheguru? I am not clear on this. Himmat Singh. In our hearts of heart, we are only too aware of our weakness and wrongdoings. As long as we believe that Vaheguru will judge us and find us wanting, we hesitate to pray him because we feel that he will not love us. I'll explain this in another way. Once the cub of a lioness became sick and no remedy worked, someone told her to pray to the Almighty, but she was hesitant. How can I pray for his mercy when I have killed countless of his creatures? She thought. Similar thinking makes us feel ashamed to face our Lord. We have to realize that he is an all-pervading power whose inherent nature is goodness and love. We are troubled and unhappy because of our own actions, but when we go near him, we feel the comfort of his love. Then it becomes easy to pray to him, to recite Naam, to sing his praises and be grateful for all his blessings. Himmat Singh paused, smiled and asked, How do you feel now? Basant Kaur, Wonderful, I have enjoyed every word you've spoken. Himmat Singh, So by accepting him as the source of love, we have taken the first step. Once we begin to feel love for him, his presence remains in our hearts, night and day. It feels as if we have become connected to him, and through this connection, his love and comfort is flowing into us. This idea is beautifully depicted in the Bani of Sri Guru Amar Das, Anand Sahib, in which he says, E man merya tu sada raho har nale, har nal raho tu man merya, dukh sab visarna, angi kar ਉਹ ਕਰੇ ਤੇਰਾ ਕਾਰਜ ਸਭ ਸਵਾਰਨਾ ਸਭਨਾ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਸਮਰੱਥ ਸੁਆਮੀ ਸੋ ਕਿਉਂ ਮਨੋ ਵਿਸਾਰੇ ਕਹੇ ਨਾਨਕ ਮਨ ਮੇਰਿਆ ਸਦਾ ਰਹੋ ਹਰ ਨਾਲੇ ਮੀਨਿੰਗ ਓ ਮਾਈ ਹਾਰਟ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਰਿਮੇਨਸ ਕਲੋਸ ਟੂ ਦ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਰਿਮੇਨਸ ਕਲੋਸ ਟੂ ਦ ਲੋਰਡ ਮਾਈ ਹਾਰਟ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦੈਟ ਵੇ ਆਲ ਸਫਰਿੰਗ ਇਜ਼ ਫੋਰਗੋਟਨ ਵਾਂਸ ਹੀ ਓਨਸ ਯੂ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਟੇਕ ਕੇਅਰ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਯੋਰ ਪ੍ਰੋਬਲਮਸ He, the Creator, controls everything. Then why should one not remember him? Says Nanak, urging his heart to always remain close to the Lord. As a friend looks after and cares for a friend, so the Almighty cares for those who love him. He does this by giving them the gifts of his love and joy. Another benefit of closeness with the Lord is that slowly all their relationships lose their hold. One is no longer at the mercy of emotional involvement with others, which was creating a barrier between the Lord and oneself. This does not mean that we cut ourselves off from all relationships, but accept them as Vaheguruji's hukam, meaning Lord's will, and carry on doing our duty. This state is of true vairag, meaning detachment, and it removes the need to take sannyas and go into the jungles. The path of spirituality, which was dry and full of dangers in the past, has thus become a comfortable highway, making our journey pleasant and full of joy. Basant Kaur, you have made these abstract ideas so simple to understand. Vaheguru is all love. Each being is a part of him and thus carries the spark of divine love in his heart. But we have turned this love towards the materialistic world. Thus we have become completely engrossed in worldly possessions. This is sending us away from the beloved Creator. Now, if some change can be wrought in our nature so that we can be free, we can free ourselves from the hold of this world and turn towards the Lord, then we can achieve the right destination. Only when we begin to believe that this world is His creation and all that is happening is according to His will, which we must accept cheerfully, then and only then can we really be close to Him. This is the meaning of Hukam Rajai Chalana, meaning His will is born in us, ingrained, thou follow. Am I correct? Himmat Singh, absolutely, my dear. Some people are born with a consciousness of Vaheguru's presence and are thus automatically attracted to a life of satsang. Some see the Creator in the myriad beauties of nature. Then there are others who go through some personal trauma and turn towards this path. Sikhs who recite Gurbani and try to understand it lead their lives in His presence. The type of company one keeps plays a big role. With a bad companion, one sinks into a life of evil. And with a good, God-loving friend, one is drawn to the spiritual life. Everyone is aware that this world and its attractions are not lasting. Those we love are taken away from us by death. The possessions we collect and cherish are destroyed or stolen. At such moments, we suffer the pangs of loss. And then comes the desire for peace and lasting happiness, a blessed cure for all ills. This we find in satsang. We pray for Gurmukh da mel, sadh da sang. O God, grant us the company of the true devotee and the society of the elevated one. For it is their company that we learn to focus our love on Vaheguru. Gura ik de bujhai, sabna jiyan ka ik data, so mai visar na jai. Meaning, this is the Guru, my teacher taught. There is one protector and provider of all creation. Forget him not. After a while, Basant Kaur said, I am feeling at peace now and I want this feeling to continue. It would help me if we could have satsang at home for some days. Himmat Singh, yes, this is a good idea. We can have Akhand Paath and Shri Guru Granth Sahib. I'll go and make the arrangements. Messages were sent to all relatives and friends, and the next day, Paath began after praying for the well-being and safe return of those who were being held captive in distant Kabul. One after the other, 5 Akhand Paaths were completed, and during those days, Bhai Himmat Singh's home became a paradise of spiritual joy. Chapter 16. In far off Kabul, on the barren outskirts of the city, the caravan lay under the silent twinkling stars. All around were the Amir's soldiers standing guard. Those who had already gone through the inspection were fast asleep, but the others waited, restless and anxious, till exhaustion claimed them into deeper slumber. Only one person, Jaswant Singh, sat with eyes fixed heavenwards, his thoughts focused on the Creator. His mind was filled with the fear of the morning, when it would be revealed that he was a young woman dressed in male garments. She would be recognized as the same girl who had escaped from the Amir's palace. The result would be capture, torture, and death. Satwant had believed that being disguised as a man would give her protection, make her journey safer, but it had put her in greater peril. As time passed, a calmness descended on her mind. Every time a fresh wave of fear and worry threatened, she seemed to hear a voice saying, Angi kar o kare tere karaj sabsavarna, means he will accept you and he will protect you, for he is the one who can put everything right. E man merya tu sada raho harnale, meaning, O my heart, stay always with the Lord. Time passed and still Satwant Kaur could see no rope or ray of hope. She clung to her faith and reassured herself that the Guru would show the path. She must keep her spirits up. Finally, she got up and decided to find a way to get out of the camp, but guards were posted everywhere. Quietly, she slipped back and sat down again. One Pathan chief passed close by. He was talking softly to himself. Everyone is asleep. All are either Kabulis or Pathans. Who would know where Butala is? Oh, what should I do? Tomorrow we leave and who knows what will happen then? As he paced slowly, he heard the sound of a soft voice. In the dark, he could see someone sitting and reciting something in a strange language. As he listened carefully, he realized that the person was Guru Nanak Sikh and was reciting Gurbani. The Pathan chief was intrigued and excited and moved forward quickly. He approached the young man and shook him by the shoulder, saying, "Who are you, young man?" Jiswant said, "A traveler." The chief said, "Where are you going?" Jaswant, "To Hindustan." Chief, "Have you been there before or is this your first trip?" Jaswant, "I have been up to Sirhind." Chief, "Have you seen Butala?" Jaswant, "Not Butala, it's Vatala." Chief, "Yes, yes. What sort of place is it?" Jaswant, "It has Muslim madrasas, schools and libraries." Chief, "Yes, right. You know about Punjab also?" Jaswant, "A little." Chief, "How is that?" Jaswant, "My family was from Punjab." Chief, "Did Nader Shah capture you and bring you here?" Jaswant, "No, sir, but we belong to that part." Chief, "Do you know anybody in Punjab?" Jaswant, "Not many." Chief, "Have you heard the name Askur?" Jaswant, thinking deeply, "Yes, sir, I had heard that a woman, Askur, along with a little boy, had been captured by Nader Shah, and along with other Hindu slaves, had been brought here." The chief, "What happened to her?" Jaswant, "Near Attock, Sikhs had attacked and managed to free some Hindu prisoners, but she was not among them. It was believed that there was a Pahari maid, Nukro, with her, but no trace was found of the three." The chief frowned and, biting his lip, asked, "Young man, how do you know all this?" Jaswant, "Just heard it in passing." Chief, "Why are you still awake?" Jaswant, "I am remembering my Lord." The chief said, "Why?" Jaswant says, "It is Guru Nanak's teachings to remember the Lord with one's heart, even as we toil with our hands. He taught us that those who do not believe in the Lord eat corrupted food." Chief says, "You appear to be a very noble person. Thinks his forehead is peaceful and lovable, his words are sweet and thoughts clear and concise, and speaks aloud. Tell me, does Askur have a husband and do you know his name?" Jaswant says, "His name is Shatrujit Singh. He has a daughter who is very pretty and God-loving. It is said that she resembles her mother." The chief says, "You've not seen her?" Jaswant says, "Only heard about her." Chief says, "If you were in Hindustan, would you be able to find out her whereabouts?" Jaswant says, "I'm not sure, but if it is for a good cause, I can try." The chief says, "Ha, you are a wise one." Jaswant says, "I have heard that when she sings songs of love and sorrow in the memory of her brother and mother, the hardest stones melt." Chief says, "Do you have any weapon with you?" Jaswant says, "Yes, a small dagger." The chief says, "Give it to me." Jaswant says, "How do I protect myself?" Chief says, "You know the consequence of disobeying me?" Jaswan says, yes, but at least tell me why you want it. Chief says, I have to imprison you. Jaswan says, for what crime? Chief says, no crime. I need you, and when the job is done, I shall release you. Jaswan says, but why imprison me? You have just to order me, and if there is no wrongdoing involved, I shall willingly obey. Chief says, I am not sure, but I have been waiting for a long time for someone like you. Maybe you can solve my dilemma. Jaswan says, to achieve your own ends, why do you arrest an innocent? Chief says, my wish. Jaswan says, justice, justice. Chief says, if there was justice, why would I have needed to you? Enough of talking. Get up and come with me, or it will be the worst for you.